So, all right, Mike Muey. So we've noticed some changes. Whoops. Nine whoops only. No dragon backs. Kind of been instituted by you guys a little bit. I do think, yeah, the fact that we can't keep these guys healthy is maybe the worst thing about our sport. So I'm imagining that's where this comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. First and foremost, we got to look at rider safety. So as you mentioned, the dragon's backs, we've removed them from all of the tracks in this current season, and we've gone down to 9 whoops total, at least for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. We're going to play with that size as the season goes on and kind of see what works, what doesn't. We'll take rider feedback and make decisions on that. Most notably, though, we're looking at data and compiling data. So you would think that there would be more over the 50 years that we've been, but we're going back and looking at past years and utilizing. We have what are called fall down reports, and that says every single location that a rider has fallen on the course, and comparing where that is. Is it in the whoops? Is it in rhythm lanes? And trying to make educated decisions based off of data, other than what I think probably you and I can speak for, have assumptions. But data is fact, right? Yeah. And so that's what we're working on. It's crawl, walk, run. We'll see what we learn this year, what we learn next year. But we have to start somewhere.
Sure.
And that's where we're at right now.
And 9, who came up with 9? I mean, I understand what you're saying, like shorter whoop sections. Is there a reason why there's 9? Or is that was sort of like just like, hey?
So 9 seems to be a number that when you start getting into 10, 11, 12, 13, we've had 14 and 16 before.
Sure.
So we started small on the low end of the scale.
Yep.
I don't think that 9 is probably the number that's going to stick.
Yep.
But we also didn't want to start with 14 and work backwards.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So 9's the number we're at now, and we'll continue to look as we head.
So talking to some riders and track guys, they were telling me, okay, so dozer whoops are different than loader whoops, right? We all know the difference between building them. Mm-hmm. Some thoughts are loader whoops are steeper, and that keeps the speeds down. Dozer whoops are faster, higher speeds, hit the ground harder. Has that been thought about at all? I see both sides. But
During media sessions, myself with Pelletier, we have a room that almost every rider comes through. And we ask them about tracks, thoughts, suggestions. You know, the Dirtworks guys talk to people. We all talk.
Yep.
And the biggest thing with whoops is big and fat on the top so that they have plenty of wheel space to tap. And that's really what we're after.
And
that's
easier dozer,
that's better done with dozer.
Okay.
Not necessarily easier, but it's what we've found that works the best. And you can see here in Detroit, they're pretty big and fat on top.
Yep.
And that's what we look for.
Hard to find all the teams reach a consensus on anything, but what's been the team's response when you brought this to the managers and the teams?
Good. Yep. And all of them are supportive and provide feedback. Consensus is tough. Everybody has different ideas, but, that's our jobs, right?
Yep.
Our job is to take all of that information and make an educated decision.
Yep.
They've been around this sport for a long time. Obviously, the riders ride at the level that they do, so we need their support. We tap into Ricky, Villapoto, anybody that's willing to give advice, we'll take it because we're not the smartest guys in the room. We take what we can get.
It is weird, like when you look at us compared to in any kind of form of racing, IndyCar or MotoGP or whatever, or you look at mainstream sports, which you and I are a fan of, and we can't keep our stars going all year. It's just that dangerous of a sport. And I guess this is the idea behind it, right? As we get longer into the seasons, harder to sell tickets, harder to keep interest up when guys can't stay healthy.
And there's always going to be a level of danger to Supercross. Our goal is to minimize it in any way possible. I mean, there's other things that we've done over the course of the years with padding and anything that we can do to keep these guys healthy is not out of the question.
And I guess one of my ideas is always I cannot believe that front and back and safety protection isn't mandated like it is in Europe. But I guess with legality here and litigation and stuff, is that kind of what's stopping that? Personal choice thing?
The personal choice is a challenge. We don't feel comfortable telling the riders, this is what you have to wear, whether you feel comfortable or not, because it can cause more problems, right?
Okay.
So that's really where that's at.
Step one for me would be hey, this is what you have to do to race. That in my eyes, but then, legally.
These guys move and on the bike so much, and really it has to be their comfort level.
Yep.
But it's not to say that we don't try to encourage it at the junior levels, and encourage them to be raised that way, because then you got used to riding that way.
One thing I think about that would be an awesome part for our sport, but I guess it would be really expensive for you guys, is I think there should be a dedicated safety crew each week, like we see in other motorsports. Professionals, you know, I mean, look, everybody tries to do their best, but sometimes flagging is not ideal week to week. Has that been kicked around? Has that been talked about? Has that been something that you maybe you want to do? But again, I see the downside of it being really expensive.
Yeah, it is very expensive. Yeah. But really, the drawback is finding 28 people that want to travel, you know, to 17 rounds a year. We've made significant strides ahead in flagging over the years. We have a gentleman that manages them, and it's his true passion.
So I can vouch
he
for
works.
That.
Yeah, he works very closely with them. You know, on education. And I think what a lot of folks don't understand is these aren't just, you know, people we've found on Craigslist. These are people that have worked with us for many years, and they travel to a lot of the events, you know, at least regionally. So Indy, Detroit, et cetera. Yeah, Mini back in it. And so, you know, they're not unseasoned folks, and they're very well trained. John does a great job with them. And, and you know, can we be better? Yeah, we can always be better. You know, when we become stagnant is when we got problems. And so we'll keep growing in that, that regard.
Last question for you. Great start to the series. We've seen it almost everything. Track-wise, win-wise, rider, all of that. It's been a really interesting start to the season. I mean, I've been covering this a long time, and yeah, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't tell you what's going to go next. And I guess for you, that's a great thing.
It is great. You know, just overall, it's a great time to be a part of the sport. I've done this for quite a while. I know you've done this for quite a while. And just the vibe and everything around the sport right now is where we need to be and where we need to continue to go. There's positivity. Everybody's working together to build. Specifically to this season, it's had its ups and downs. Yeah. But that makes it fun, right? Like, none of us want a mud race. Our crew, the riders, the teams, nobody wants that, but that's the can we're dealt. That's, you know, professional dirt bike racing at the highest level, and we do what we, you know, what we can.
Yeah, it's been cool to watch so far, so let's keep it rolling. All right, thanks, man, appreciate it.